Bowden, I want to welcome you to episode 371 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? If you hear the air conditioner in the background, I am sorry, but it hit 113 degrees today in the San Fernando Valley adjacent to Los Angeles. Yes, it is hot. 11 o'clock at night, still 90 degrees. It's Texas hot out here, and I'm going to mention Texas a little later. But first, I want to talk about Mississippi, because what's going on in Jackson, Mississippi, should be criminal. It should be criminal, but unfortunately, it isn't. Jackson, Mississippi has no water. They don't have water to drink. They don't have water to wash. They don't have water to flush their toilets. They have no water. Their infrastructure has been breaking down for years. There was a flood caused by, you know, that fake global warming, which is why it's 113 degrees here and it's hot wherever you are, et cetera, et cetera. But the point being that they saw this coming and they just didn't care. Okay, you know what they did care about? Republican governor, tax cuts. Mississippi in April passed a $524 million tax cut. Okay. They cut the state income tax 1% off the top bracket, eliminated the lower bracket, blah, blah, blah. Tremendous victory. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Now, let's look at what they did. They cut the taxes. They held the state hostage, by the way. They said that if you didn't cut the taxes, they wouldn't accept the infrastructure money from the Joe Biden's infrastructure law. But it doesn't matter because this is all too late. Now, Mississippi says, we don't care about the federal government. You know, another right-wing state hates federal government. Mississippi is third in federal dependence behind only Alaska and New Mexico. Mississippi has the highest poverty rate in the nation. They can't fund their public education. And of course, they have no money to invest in infrastructure, which is why Jackson, Mississippi has no water. Now, Mustafa Santiago Ali, former EPA environmental justice advisor, founder of nonprofit Revitalization Strategies, he said, with no water, okay, this is flood, the water treatment plant, the water processing plant, whatever, is overrun because the river has flooded, etc. So this is what he says. We have extreme heat, elders won't be able to hydrate, puts people's lives in danger. Black people die at twice the rate of white people. Then he asked, this is the funny part. Why, he asked, hasn't cash from state revolving funds and the $1.2 trillion infrastructure package that Biden signaled last fall been used to help Jackson? Yeah, you ever hear in these legal dramas when they say a question is asked and answered? This question is asked and answered. Why hasn't the fund been used on the infrastructure package? Well, it could be because Jackson, Mississippi's population is 81.8% black, and the poverty rate is 26.9%, which is only a little bit higher than the rest of the state. That's why they didn't do anything. That's why they didn't care, because it's a black city in Mississippi. But now it's real, and it's federal. They've declared an emergency. FEMA is there. They're bringing in trucks of water. But this isn't going to be a quick fix because their pipes are old and their pipes are rusty. Their pipes were bursting last winter when it got cold, and now the people have no water. It's 2022. They have no water. People have been talking about these infrastructure problems throughout the United States for years, and they have the money to fix this. They have the money to create jobs, to work on this, and they are so locked in to this right-wing, racist, ignorant, we hate the federal government thing, low taxes, whatever you want to call it, that they're literally watching their state crumble beneath them. The state is crumbling beneath them, and they're still like, we ain't taking no federal money, we hate the federal government. Meanwhile, they actually take a ton of federal money. And these are another one of these states that hates California and New York, by the way. Yeah, California and New York, who finance the nation. Okay, so we'll see. We'll see. I tell you this, California, we have no water here, but we're drinking water. Yeah. Okay, so I don't know. What's going to happen to Mississippi? I don't know. You know, is it the Flint, Michigan thing all over again? In some ways, yeah, in some ways it absolutely is. But this Flint, Michigan, yeah, it's the same thing. It's the same thing, right? Working class city, black city, whatever. Listen, when it comes to discriminating against poor people, rich Republicans don't see color. It's the only time they don't see color. When it comes to discriminating against poor people and making sure they don't waste any of their money giving services to poor people, they're pretty much equal with poor black people and poor white people. Poor white people don't realize it, but no, they don't care about you either. So that's it. Now, let's talk about California, because as you have probably heard, as I've heard since I moved here in 1980, everyone hates California. It's the worst place in the world. Blah, 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 blah. Yes, it's the most populated state. Yes, it's the biggest money-making state, but everyone hates it. We hate California. We hate you. We hate California. And Texas hates California. And Texas is always bragging. Everyone's leaving California to come to Texas because Texas is where you want to be. And this is a Fox News narrative. This is a Ted Cruz narrative. All these liars, right? What do they say? There's lies, there's damn lies, and then there's statistics. So they all talk about how many Californians are moving to Texas to say Texas is better than California. Well, guess what? Someone's done the math. See, math is something they don't like in the schools in Texas. They also don't like history. They don't like racism. They don't like teaching anything about women's rights. And God forbid you teach that anyone in the LGBTQ community is human. But they don't like math. Because the math, and this is really funny, right? It's very simple. People move state to state. That goes on all the time. Numerous reasons. Might be take care of family, a better job, price of houses, whatever it might be. People move state to state all the time. Okay? Now, California has the most people of any state. California has the largest population. Therefore, if the same percentage of people move state to state, there would be more people from California because California has more people. You see, that's all it is. So it's not about Texas having, you know, family values and conservative and everyone can carry a gun and you can go shoot up a school and, you know, all of that. No, it's not that. It's simple numbers. Let's break it down, make it simple, okay? If one state, say Oklahoma. Oklahoma borders on Texas. A lot of Oklahomans move to Texas. Say, and I'm making the math simple. If Oklahoma had 100 people and 7% left, that would be 7 people. 7 is 7% of 100, right? Now, California, a much bigger state. So California has 1,000 people. 5% moved to Texas. That's 50 people. So you could say more people moved from California to Texas, but the truth is a lower percentage of Californians moved to Texas. You see? So it's not true. People aren't leaving California in droves. People are leaving California in normal numbers, at a normal rate. It's just that because there are a lot more people in California, there's a lot more people moving out of California. One more time, a right-wing narrative is proven to be false. I know you find that hard to believe. Yeah, I do too. It's unbelievable that they actually would lie. Absolute post of the week. Okay, I'm going to credit this to a longtime listener and fan of the podcast, Mark. I want to thank you for this. I do not know who to credit this to, and I am paraphrasing the post, but it is quite simply, it's a good thing Donald Trump had the foresight to declassify the documents that the FBI planted. That's fantastic. Because these are the two lies that the Republicans are going with on Donald Trump stealing classified documents. and who should be in jail for treason and for violating the Espionage Act, etc. First, they said that the FBI planted the documents when that story didn't stick, because they keep trying different lies, right? That's what they do. They try different lies until one sticks. So first, it was the FBI planted the documents, like, oh, that one doesn't stick. So then we're going to go with, well, he declassified all the documents, so he didn't have anything classified. Well, as the Post says, how would he know how to declassify the documents that the FBI planted? Their lies are so simple to prove false, but they stick with them, the cult believes them, and away they go. I was talking about how hot it is in L.A., how hot the flooding in Mississippi. We've seen all of this stuff, and we know if you turn to Fox, it's all fake. Climate change is all fake, and they love to play gotcha and catch a hypocrite. So they caught a hypocrite on climate change. Prince Harry, who talks about the environment and climate change, is sitting there with his giant SUV idling. This is the Fox News story. He's idling in his giant SUV, wasting energy. Why didn't they take a look at the front of the SUV and see that the grill is plastic and fake? Why is the grill plastic and fake? Because the SUV is electric. It's not sitting there idling, wasting gas. It's an electric SUV. Once again, they missed the point. Now, if they really wanted to get on something, he flew in a private jet. And then we've talked about this before. Everyone's talked about this. There's no bigger waster. There's no greater creator of carbon deposits in the atmosphere than people traveling on private jets. But they missed that one because they were so anxious to get him in a giant SUV. Yeah, it was electric. Okay, I didn't know about this. You know, listen. I love when people tell me, man, you're smart. I appreciate that. I'm smart enough to know what I don't know. And I thank my parents for that. They taught me this thing about reading, and finding out information. We have a serious problem in the United States. We have many of them, but one of the big infrastructure problems that no one's paying attention to, no one's talking about, our train system, our railway system is a mess, and it is going to collapse. It cannot continue the way it's going. Okay? Only 67% of trains get where they're going within a day of when they're supposed to be there. The people running the railway industry, the executives, all executives are in the United States, and this is our problem, okay? They're only interested in the stock price in the next quarter. They're not interested in getting their jobs done. They're not interested in the service they provide. Just let's run up the stock. So, of course, how do they run up the stock prices? Well, you cut the workforce, right? And then you pocket all the government money that's given to you for the pandemic and for your infrastructure, taking care of the tracks, et cetera, et cetera. They pocket all that money, and here's what's going on. They use this example. A big farm had to euthanize 1 million chickens because the feed didn't get there in time. Because the train with the chicken feed didn't get there in time. They had to euthanize millions of chickens so the chickens don't start eating each other. It's horrible. They're saying, all these industries are saying, you got to do something with the trains. Railroads have cut the workforce by 45,000 people, 29% in the past 6 years. Obviously, lots of furloughs during the pandemic. There's been a contract dispute between the rail workers and their employees. Negotiations have stopped since 2019. The only reason they're not on strike is there's a Railroad Federal Labor Act. The federal government says they can't go on strike because if the rail workers go on strike, the nation stops. Okay, and it goes back, that act goes back to when we depended on trains even more. But they're trying to work this out. There's a three-member presidential emergency board trying to get a new contract. If they don't get a contract by September 15th, they actually can go on strike. Listen, you think we have supply chain problems now? Can you imagine no trains running? Now, what are they doing? Well, they're overworking them, okay, like every other industry. Railroad workers working 16-hour days back to back. Exhaustion, okay, yeah, that's great to have someone exhausted running a train 3 miles long. Oh, and by the way, the companies, the executives want to run these trains. You've seen these freight trains, how big they are. 3 mile train, they want to run it with one person with automatic brakes. And the railway workers, the actual workers who be there. Here's a show that people enjoy that is actually an indication of what's wrong with the system. If you ever watch a show, Undercover Boss, where they show the head of the company or the corporation learning how to do the job of the people who work for them. Shouldn't you know how to do the job if you're the boss? I guess not. What do you know how to do? Lay people off, manipulate stock price, and give yourself bonuses. That's what you know how to do. So these people who know nothing about running trains have this automatic braking system. They're like, hey, we only need one person. It's an automatic braking system. Yeah, 3 miles long, moving up to 70 miles an hour, okay? It one person. In 2013 in Quebec, using one engineer who didn't secure the train, went down a hill, killed 47 people. Yeah, yeah, a freight train, the amount of damage that much weight and that much speed can do, it's unbelievable. You saw the movie with Denzel and Chris Pine with the runaway train, which they saved. We don't want that for real. But they don't care. Regarding taking care of the tracks, the workers, the people who actually work on the train, said that what they used to do was they would constantly work on the tracks to keep the tracks safe and clean and whatever, however you have to maintain a train track, that's what they would do. But now they cut back on the number of workers, so they can't stay ahead of the problem. They can only go fix it when there's a problem. That's great. That's what we want. We want a broken track. We want a problem with the track or a signal or whatever. Because the train's only 3 miles long, moving it up to 70 miles an hour. What could go wrong? This is another real problem in infrastructure not being talked about. People don't know what's going on. And what'll happen? Will the supply chain will slow down even more? Prices will go up even higher, and they'll blame Joe Biden, because why not? Whew. Okay. That's that's all I got to say about that. And man, God bless the people in Mississippi. I wish you luck. You know, when I have guests on the podcast, I do a thing called the good news. And I realize that when I do the podcast myself, and you know, I thank you guys so much for listening. I'm heading to Atlanta this weekend, the Punchline, great club in Atlanta. I will see you guys there. Atlanta, please come out and laugh and support, because I need it and I like you guys. But anyway, I'm going to do the good news myself. So what's the good news on this week's podcast? Well, Democrat Mary Peltola wins the Alaska congressional seat, defeating Sarah Palin. Let me say it again. Democrat defeats Sarah Palin. One more time, because it just feels good to say. A Democrat defeats Sarah Palin. Now, Alaska only has one seat, and they have an election process where pretty much everybody's in, and whoever gets the most votes wins. So she has won the seat for the remainder of this term. There's going to be another election in November. Hopefully she wins that one. Sarah Palin lost because, one, they don't like the fact that when she was governor, she quit being the governor. She quit the job so she could be a reality TV star. They say she's not that committed. And the other reason is the Republicans are getting hit on Roe v. Wade. Apparently, women have some interest in what's going on with their bodies. Who knew? Who would have guessed that women would be interested in what's going on with their bodies and maybe would rather make the decision themselves as opposed to, oh, I don't know, Clarence Thomas making the decision for him. So good on you, Alaska. Thank you for the good news. Now, the feel-good story, the story that I hope you're watching, I've been watching and absolutely loving. The U.S. Open is going on right now in tennis, and Serena Williams has said this will be her last major tournament. She just still doesn't like to use the word retire. She may stop playing, she may not. We don't know. But you know what she's doing? She's winning. As a matter of fact, today she won her second round match against the number two ranked tennis player, and she won it in Serena fashion. It was beautiful to watch, very powerful, very fast. They said that if Serena's fast on the court, I don't know tennis. I'm no way an expert. Know nothing about tennis, other than it's hard. It's a lot of running, but they said as long as she's covering the court the way she is, she's still hard to beat at 41, 25 years in. There were two things that I really loved about watching this. One, guess who was there? Tiger Woods. Now, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about that writer who really bothered me, who tried to compare Serena to Tiger and LeBron, and I said there's no reason for her to be great. Like, they don't have to be bad for her to be great, and she's not competing with them. Tiger was not only in the stands, Tiger was doing the fist pump when she hit the right point, when she won a set. It was fantastic to watch. The other thing, and I just absolutely love this, and most athletes don't do this for various reasons. Serena was signing autographs leaving the court. Okay, now think. This is Serena Williams, okay, the GOAT, the greatest of all time. This is her last major tournament, needless to say. A media circus, tons of people, they love her, this and that. People are going nuts, right? Walking off the court, she goes to the side, and she did this. Like, first of all, she picked up her own bags, which, what the hell? And this guy came, and he took her bags, thank God. And then she just walked over to the fans who were, like, courtside and starts signing their hats and their programs and their stuff, just because. You know why? Because she's a phenomenal person. Because besides being the greatest women's tennis player of all time, or maybe the greatest tennis player of all time, again, I'm not an expert, but besides being the GOAT, she's nice. Good on you, Serena, and thank you, because Lord knows we need it. There's haters online, they're comical, there's always been haters, she's dealt with that her entire career. They can't touch her. They can't touch. It is a love fest going on right now with Serena Williams. It is absolutely deserved. If you know nothing about tennis, watch the U.S. Open this year and just watch Serena play and watch the energy when she plays. Now, she may or may not win. I don't know. But every round she wins, it just gets better and better. So thank you, Serena Williams. I've said two of my regrets were there at the same time. Two of my regrets in sports. I've never seen Tiger play golf. Never seen it live. No excuse for that. And I've never seen Serena play tennis. Never live. And no excuse for that. But I get to watch one cheer for the other. And that just felt phenomenal. So that's it. Alonzo Bowden. Who's paying attention? You are. And I thank you for it. Keep reading. Keep watching. Keep an eye on the news. We don't know what's going on with Trump and Mar-a-Lago and all that. It is funny to watch him. Keep lying, keep lying, keep lying. One of the lies will stick. No, they won't. And that's it. That's all I got. Atlanta, I'm headed your way. Punchline, it's going to be phenomenal. And then I'm going to be home, and I'm going to be doing more gigs around L.A. If you live in L.A., come catch me at the Laugh Factory or the Improv or somewhere. Thank you, guys. Who's paying attention? You are. You are absolutely the best audience. Stay hydrated and stay cool. My friend Dom Herrera, brilliant comic, used to always say that when they'd be on the news and tell you to drink water when it's hot. Like, really? I hadn't thought of that. In honor of the great Dom Herrera, I'm going to tell you, it's hot. Drink water.